Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're gonna need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100 count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You know that feeling, right? When you're driving, everything's smooth, maybe you're listening to music, just cruising along, and then something just feels off. Something unexpected with the car.
Mm.
Could be a little rattle, maybe a vibration you haven't felt before, or, you know, maybe something more worrying, a lurch, or just so that something doesn't feel right.
Yeah, that unsettling feeling.
Exactly. And for most of us, safety is absolutely paramount when we get behind the wheel. So any little concern about the car's integrity, it can be really unsettling. We all see news about recalls. They seem to pop up all the time.
They really do.
But how often do we actually stop and, like, really unpack what they mean, why they happen, and crucially, what you, the owner, should actually do about it. Okay, so let's do that unpacking today. We're taking a deep dive into a really significant safety recall just announced by Ford.
A big one.
A big one. It involves hundreds of thousands of vehicles, specifically the popular Lincoln Aviator and Ford Explorer crossovers. And we're talking recent models here.
Yeah, not old cars.
Not old cars at all. And this isn't, you know, a minor thing like a sticky button. This is about a critical part related to the second row seats.
Mm-hmm. A safety component.
Directly impacting passenger safety. A core function.
And what's really fascinating here, I think, isn't just the huge number of vehicles, which is staggering. We'll get into that. But the very specific nature of the problem.
Right.
It tells you a lot about modern car manufacturing, the complexity, and also the safety systems that are supposed to catch these things. So our mission today for this deep dive is to really pull out the key information from a recent article by Wesley Wren. This is published June 18th, 2025. We want to go beyond just the headlines and help you understand the core issue, the potential safety impact, which is serious, and maybe most importantly, what steps you should take if your car is affected.
Yeah, the practical stuff.
Exactly. So you're not just informed, but like truly well-informed. You understand the why and the what now.
And the information we're using today, it's solid. It's coming straight from that detailed news report. It's got the specific numbers, the dates for notifications, technical details about the defect.
And just rumors.
No guesswork here. This is the kind of specific, actionable info that really cuts through the noise. It gives clarity, which is what you need when something like this comes up. So yeah, we've got the details. We're ready to break it all down. All right, section one. Let's get into the core issue, the details of this Ford recall. First off, the scope, the sheer scale of this thing. The numbers are, well, they're eye-opening.
Mm-hmm.
Ford is recalling a grand total of 304,662 vehicles.
Wow.
The source calls it a sweeping recall. And I mean, yeah, that number definitely qualifies.
No kick.
Breaking that down, it's 121,235 Lincoln Aviators and 183,427 Ford Explorers.
So both models significantly impacted.
Definitely. And it's not just one model year. It covers 2020 all the way through 2025.
A lot. It's a huge range. 5 years of production.
Right. A really significant chunk of the recent output. These are relatively new vehicles out on the road. Think about that number again, over 300,000 vehicles. Just to put it in perspective, that's like roughly the number of cars in a decent-sized city.
That's a good comparison. Puts it into scale.
Imagine 250,000 cars driving around, potentially needing this fix. It really shows how widespread this is. It's not some niche model. These are incredibly popular family SUVs.
Absolutely. Mainstream vehicles.
So, okay. We know how many cars and which ones. Big numbers, recent models. But the key question then is, what exactly is the problem? What's actually wrong with the seats?
Right. And this is where it gets down to a very specific, almost small-sounding component. But its function is critical. The issue centers on the second row seat fold lever bezel. It's also called the easy entry seat fold switch bezel.
The bezel. What's that normally supposed to do?
Well, its job is pretty simple. It helps you fold or slide the second row seat easily to get into the third row. It's a convenience feature. Makes access easier.
Gotcha. Easy entry.
Exactly. But the defect here, according to the report, is about how it was put together. It could have been installed incorrectly.
Ah, an assembly issue.
Seems like it. And it can be misaligned with the switch that it operates.
Okay. So it doesn't line up right. What happens then?
Well, that misalignment can cause the seat mechanism to bind, you know, get stuck, not move smoothly.
That's a key drawer, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Or, and this is more concerning, the switch itself can become stuck in the down position.
Hmm. And why is that bad?
Well, think about mechanical parts, especially ones involved in locking seats in place. They need precise alignment. Even a tiny misalignment, a millimeter off, can stop a lock from engaging properly.
Right. These things need to be exact.
They really do.
Yeah.
And this isn't like a software bug you can patch remotely. This is a physical installation problem affecting how the seat locks or doesn't lock into place. Shows how a tiny part badly installed can cause big trouble.
And this is where it gets, well, frankly, pretty scary for anyone driving one of these or riding as a passenger.
Yeah, this is the crucial part.
If that bezel is installed wrong, the source is very clear. It could lead to a situation where the seat becomes unlatched in the seat track.
Unlatched, that's the key word.
Yeah, unlatched. Imagine that. A second row seat, maybe with your kids in car seats back there.
Right.
Suddenly not secured while you're driving. What could happen? The article says it could cause the outboard seats to bind in the down position. So unusable, maybe trapping someone.
Not good.
Or even worse, the seat could unlatch while in motion, which could lead to the seat actually moving or folding while the vehicle is in motion.
While driving, that's incredibly dangerous.
Exactly. Think about the direct risks. The article spells it out. A seat that's moving unexpectedly in the cabin could lead to injury or a potential collision.
Of course.
Imagine braking hard or swerving, and suddenly that seat, maybe with a child in it, just folds forward or slides.
It's a terrifying thought.
Mm-hmm.
Could injure the person in the seat, or even distract the driver enough to cause an accident?
Absolutely. It's not just a minor inconvenience. What stands out to you about that scenario? It really drives home how a seemingly small mechanical issue, that bezel, can have huge safety consequences, doesn't it?
It really does. It underlines the importance of every single component functioning exactly as designed, especially when it comes to restraint systems and seating.
So, okay, massive recall, potentially very dangerous defect.
Yeah.
But how many of these 300,000 plus vehicles are actually expected to have this problem? Is it all of them?
That's a really important point. And the numbers Ford provided give us a bit of perspective. Ford estimates that only 6% of those affected 2020 to 2025 Ford Explorers and Lincoln Aviators will have this defect.
Only 6%. Okay, that sounds maybe less alarming.
Well, yes and no. On one hand, 6% means that for the vast majority of owners of these vehicles, their specific car probably doesn't have the improperly installed bezel, according to Ford's estimate. It suggests the flaw wasn't on every single car coming off the line, but maybe related to a specific batch or a particular process step that wasn't always done correctly.
Okay, so it's not universal.
Right. It might offer some immediate relief to many owners hearing that. But
there's always a but.
There's always a but. 6% of, what was it, 304,662 vehicles?
Yeah, let's see. 6% of roughly 305,000. That's still over 18,000 vehicles.
Exactly. Roughly 18,280 vehicles are estimated to actually have this potentially dangerous defect.
Okay, so 18,000 cars driving around with seats that might unlatch. That's still a huge number.
It absolutely is. For the people owning those cars, the risk is 100% real.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, how do they get to that 6% figure?
Yeah, how do they estimate that?
The source doesn't say explicitly, but usually it's based on a combination of things. Warranty claim data is a big one. Are they seeing an uptick in seat issues?
Mm.
Feedback from dealers? Internal testing and quality control sampling from the production line? They use statistical models to extrapolate.
Makes sense.
But that 6% figure, even if statistically low, tells us something about manufacturing tolerances in quality control, doesn't it? It shows that achieving perfect assembly across hundreds of thousands of units is incredibly difficult. Even a small percentage failure rate on a critical safety item triggers a massive recall like this.
Right. It highlights the need for that precision.
Absolutely. So if you might be one of the owners of those potentially 18,000 plus vehicles,
yeah,
what do you do next? What's the plan?
Okay, section two. Let's talk practicalities. What do owners need to do? The good news is Ford does have a fix plan. They're not just identifying the problem.
Right, there's a solution.
Ford says you can take your affected vehicle if it falls within those model years to your Ford or Lincoln dealer. They will inspect the second row seat fold switch bezel.
Straightforward inspection.
Yeah, and here's the key part. If the bezels are installed improperly or damaged, they will be replaced free of charge.
Free of charge. That's standard for recalls, but always good to confirm.
Always important. No cost to the owner for a safety defect repair. Ford covers it.
Good.
So for you, the owner, it's basically Find out if your car is included, schedule an appointment, take it in. The dealer handles the check and the fix if needed. It minimizes the hassle and removes the cost barrier.
It makes it easier for people to actually get it done.
Exactly. So the fix is there, it's free. But what about the timing? When does all this happen? When will people get official word?
Timing is always key with these big recalls. It's a huge logistical puzzle for the manufacturer. Ford's using a phased approach, which is pretty standard. First step, already underway, according to the source. Ford has already started notifying dealers about this recall.
Okay, so the dealers are getting prepared.
Exactly. They need to know what's coming, get the repair instructions, maybe start ordering parts if needed, train their technicians. They're the front line.
Makes sense. What about owners? When do they hear?
Direct owner notification is happening in two main ways. The first wave, the initial letters alerting owners, are scheduled to go out starting June 23rd, 2025.
Okay, June 23rd. That's very soon after the news broke.
Yeah, pretty quick initial contact. But then the report also mentions that the remedy letter will be mailed out on August 25, 2025.
August 25th. So like a two-month gap between the first letter and the remedy letter. Why the delay?
That gap is actually pretty common, and it's all about logistics and readiness. The first letter is often the heads up. Hey, your vehicle might be involved. Be aware. Here's the issue.
Ah, okay.
The second remedy letter usually goes out when Ford is confident that dealers across the country are fully prepared. That means they have enough replacement parts distributed, the technicians are fully trained on the specific inspection and replacement procedure, and the service departments can actually handle the volume of appointments without getting completely swamped.
Right. Avoids chaos at the dealership.
Precisely. It ensures that when you get that remedy letter saying, okay, come on in, the dealer is actually ready to perform the fix efficiently and correctly. It's about managing the flow.
All right, so notices are coming, but maybe you own a 2021 Explorer, let's say, and you hear this news and you don't want to wait for a letter that might come in June or August. You want to know now. Can you find out immediately?
Yes, absolutely. And that's really good news for owners who want immediate answers.
Yeah, how?
The source states clearly. If you're curious about the status of your Explorer or Aviator, Ford says that the affected vehicle VINs are now searchable.
VINs are searchable now? Okay, that's great. Where do you search?
You have two main official tools. First, there's the Ford recall tool itself. You can usually find this easily on the Ford or Lincoln websites, often under owners or service. Just look for recall lookup or something similar.
Okay, Ford's website.
And second, you can use the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, their official recall website. Both are reliable sources.
NHTSA.gov, usually.
That's the one. So what this means for you, the listener, is simple. If you own one of these Explorers or Aviators from 2020 to 2025, grab your VIN.
Which is usually on the dashboard, visible through the windshield, or on the driver's door sticker.
Right. Take that 17-digit number, go to either the Ford Lincoln site or the NHTSA site, type it in, and it will tell you instantly if your specific vehicle is included in this recall.
Nice and easy. Quick peace of mind.
Exactly. It's a simple step you can take right now to know where you stand and ensure your safety. Super important to have that direct access to information.
Okay, moving into section three. Let's connect this Ford recall to the bigger picture, because this isn't happening in a vacuum, right?
Not at all. This Ford recall, while definitely major news because of the numbers and the specific models, is really part of a constant drumbeat in the automotive world. Recalls happen all the time.
Yeah, seems like we hear about them constantly.
We do. And the article we're drawing from actually points this out by mentioning other recent recalls in a more recall news section.
Oh, right. What else did it mention?
It highlighted a few others happening around the same time. Toyota recalling over 440,000 Tundra pickups from 2022-2025.
Wow, another big one.
Ford itself also recalling almost 150,000 Broncos for a rear shock issue. And even the Tesla Cybertruck being recalled for pedal problems.
Okay, so yeah, it's definitely not just this one issue or this one company.
Exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it shows that recalls are just a recurring theme, almost a normal part of the business, unfortunately. It really speaks to how incredibly complex modern cars have become.
So many moving parts, so much technology.
Right. Mechanical parts, electronics, software, millions of lines of code in some cases.
Mm.
Everything has to work together flawlessly under all kinds of conditions. And with that complexity comes more potential points of failure.
Makes sense.
But it also, maybe counterintuitively, highlights that the safety systems are working in a way. These issues are being identified and addressed. It raises that interesting question, though. Are there more recalls now because cars are more complex? Or are we just better at catching and reporting them?
Good question. What do you think?
I think it's likely a bit of both. Complexity definitely adds potential failure points. But regulatory oversight, like from NHTSA, and maybe even consumer reporting, are much more robust than they used to be. Issues get flagged faster, investigated more thoroughly, and publicized more widely. So it might not be that quality is worse, but that the net for catching problems is wider and more effective. And speaking of catching problems, who's the main watchdog here? The source mentions the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's recall report.
Right, NHTSA. They're always involved, it seems.
They are the key player. NHTSA is the U.S. government agency responsible for vehicle safety standards and enforcement. Their job includes setting safety rules, investigating potential defects often prompted by consumer complaints or manufacturer data, and overseeing the entire recall process.
So they make sure Ford actually does the recall correctly.
Essentially, yes. They ensure the scope is right, the fix is adequate, the notification process is timely, and that manufacturers are held accountable for addressing safety risks. Their involvement in this Ford recall just underscores how serious the potential seat latching issue is considered. It adds that layer of official oversight and public accountability.
Got it. They're the safety referee, basically.
That's a good way to put it. And it brings up another interesting point, the balance between manufacturers finding issues themselves before release versus finding them after cars are out on the road.
Yeah, how much testing happens before we buy these things?
Manufacturers do invest billions in pre-market testing, crash tests, durability tests, extreme weather tests, component testing. It's extensive. But even with all that, you can't replicate every single real-world driving scenario, every combination of factors, over millions of miles driven by actual consumers.
So some things only show up later.
Exactly. Post-market discovery is inevitable. And that's where NHTSA's role becomes crucial again. They provide that mechanism for identifying and forcing action on defects that emerge after the sale based on real-world data and complaints. It's this constant interplay between pre-market design and testing and post-market surveillance and correction. NHTSA ensures that safety remains the priority throughout the vehicle's life.
Okay, so we have this big recall. NHTSA is involved. A fix is coming. But what does all this do to how people feel about Ford or Lincoln? What about consumer trust and the brand's image?
That's a huge, often unstated consequence of any major recall, especially one involving such a critical safety component.
Yeah, the article doesn't really dig into that, but you have to think about it.
Absolutely. It's a double-edged sword for the brand. On one hand, you could argue Ford is doing the right thing here. They identified a problem. They're recalling the vehicles. They're offering a free fix. That transparency in action can actually build some trust, showing they stand behind their product and prioritize safety, even when it's costly and embarrassing.
Taking responsibility, basically.
Right. The system is working in
a
way. But the other edge of that sword is sharp.
Very sharp.
The very idea of a second row seat coming unlatched while you're driving, especially if you have kids back there.
Yeah.
That is genuinely terrifying.
Yeah, it hits close to home for a lot of owners.
It really does.
Yeah.
And that kind of specific visceral safety fear can seriously erode trust in a brand, even one people have been loyal to for years. It plants that seed of doubt. If this could happen, what else might be wrong? Was this car rushed? Was it tested properly?
It makes you question things.
It does. What stands out to you when you hear about a recall like this for a brand, you know, maybe even own? Does it make you more wary next time you shop for a car? Or does the fact they issued the recall and are fixing it actually make you feel maybe safer knowing they're watching out?
That's a tough one. I think it depends on the issue and how the company handles it. But something like a seat unlatching, that feels pretty fundamental.
It does. And it touches on that constant tension in the industry. The push for faster innovation, quicker model cycles, more features, versus the absolute need for rigorous, time-consuming testing to ensure fundamental safety. Does that speed sometimes lead to things like this slipping through? Yeah. It's a question manufacturers are constantly grappling with.
Okay, so let's quickly recap our deep dive then. We've looked closely at this major Ford recall. It affects hundreds of thousands of 2020-2025 Lincoln Aviators and Ford Explorers.
Big numbers, popular models.
The problem is a potentially improperly installed second row seat fold lever bezel, which critically could lead to the seat unlatching or moving while driving. A serious safety hazard.
Definitely.
We stressed how important it is for you, if you own one of these, to check your VIN using the Ford or NHTSA tools online right away. Don't wait for the letter necessarily.
Proactive is key.
And the fix inspection and potential replacement is free at the dealership. Notices are going out, but you can check now.
Mm-hmm. Free fix phase rollout.
And we also put this into the broader context. Recalls are common in today's complex auto industry, and regulatory bodies like NHTSA play a vital role in overseeing safety and ensuring these issues get addressed.
And digging into this specific recall, it really brings up a bigger question for all of us, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In a world filled with increasingly complex technology, not just our cars, but our phones, everything calm, how do we, as the people using it all, strike that balance? How do we embrace all the cool new innovation and features while also making sure the fundamental safety aspects are solid?
Yeah, the basics have to be right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This sword recall is such a potent reminder. Even in these incredibly sophisticated machines designed by brilliant engineers, built on high-tech assembly lines, a seemingly small part like that little bezel, if not done right, can have enormous consequences for safety, for trust, for the company's reputation.
Tiny part, huge impact.
It really underscores that vigilance isn't just the manufacturer's job or NHTSA's job. It's also on us as owners to stay informed, to be proactive, like checking that VIN. It's part of owning complex technology responsibly in this day and age. So the final thought is, what will you do with this knowledge? How does understanding this process maybe change how you look at the technology you rely on every day?